This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
The way you feel comes from what you've been thinking about. Oh, I'm depressed, or oh, I don't feel good. Why? What have you been thinking about? Well, I've been thinking about this bill due, and I ain't got no money to pay the bill, and I don't know how to pay the bill. And you're not thinking about the right thing. Just because the situation exists doesn't mean you have to let it stay in your head and think about it, and then it governs your emotion.
Calling all men from around the world, join us for Mentality 2020.
A man that cannot control his emotions is the weakest man on the planet.
I'm nervous to share this message with you today.
I got an honest question.
Because it's going to get nitty and gritty.
We should be able to talk about certain stuff.
Real men, real talk. Join us for a revival of manhood at the Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss out. Register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Me to the book of 3 John chapter 2, and tonight I'm going to start a pretty lengthy series on, you know, dealing with your emotions. And one of the reasons I thought it was time to do this is because the world going crazy. And I'm just, every day it's just, you know, it's just some of the most unbelievable stuff you've ever heard of before in your life. And that's because people do not understand that they can control their emotions. What people are doing, a situation or a circumstance will arise, and they just think, well, whatever emotions show up, that's just how it is. And I'm telling you that a lot of things that happen in your life as Christians, you see, on the other hand, Christian people don't think they have emotion. Christian people are, you know, think that they're emotionless. But in this series, you're going to see before the covenant of grace, you're going to see God judging Israel because they didn't show or demonstrate great emotions towards Him. In joyfulness, and they didn't do that, and a curse came over their lives. Well, that won't happen for us today because we're no longer under that covenant. But we need to learn how to harness, control, have authority, and to master our emotions. Now, here's the thing about it. We'll start off with this. We all have them, don't we? Yeah. And I think that's the first truth you have to deal with. That we all have emotions. We have emotions, but there are times when emotions have us. We have emotions, and God intended for us to have emotions, for us to be in control, harness, and to have authority over our emotions. But He never intended for emotions to drive and to govern your life. And I'll show you in this series that, I mean, you have to deal with, you know, the emotions of depression and rejection and inferiority. I mean, what do you do when you're overwhelmed with these emotions? Because I'm telling you, let me go ahead and define emotions here. I'll do it again. Emotions are feelings on the inside designed to move you in a direction. Feelings on the inside designed to move you in a direction. And if those emotions can move you in a direction away from the will of God for your life, if those emotions can move you in a direction towards something that'll kill, steal, and destroy in your life, then all of a sudden, learning how to master those emotions, learning how to harness and control those emotions, it becomes paramount. especially in the life of a Christian, because I'm going to tell you something, that's where the enemy is going to operate. That's where he's going to function to try to, number one, keep you away from the call of God of your life, keep you away from reaching the will of God for your life. It's going to be as simple as, let's present a circumstance or a situation, and hopefully they will allow the circumstance and the situation to shape their emotions, to determine whether those emotions are going to be good or bad. And then if I can make that happen, then he can move you towards sin, destruction, and death. I'm almost going to show you in this series, you know, I love coming here and doing Bible study, and I'm like, you know, there's some people here who are very committed and coming here and doing Bible study. And I'm telling you, this is such an eye-opener. Once you begin to see psychology is trying to deal with your problems without God. They don't believe in the spirit portion of a man. They believe in the mental and the emotional, but they don't believe in the spirit portion of a man. And there is power that's been invested in your spirit, man, that can set you apart from what everybody else goes through. So in this series, I'm going to show you how to deal with depression. It's not going to be just the mental and the emotional principles of dealing with depression. We're going to draw from your human born-again spirit, praise God, and you stand apart from everybody else. And while they're going through depression and almost getting ready to kill themselves, if that same thing hits you, you will deal with it according to the Spirit and the Word of God, and you'll have victory every time in your life. Amen? And so emotions, we all have them, but the key objective is to not let emotions take charge of your life. You should not be governed by your feelings. You should not be led, and you should not have your feelings as your guide. You should make sure that the Holy Spirit and God's Word is the guide and the leader of your life. So, we were designed by God to master life rather than life mastering us. Can you agree with that? We were made in the image of God to reflect His power. We were made in the image of God to reflect His love. We were made in the image of God to reflect His authority in this earth. And it starts with our emotions. It starts with our emotions. Now, in 3 John chapter 1, chapter, let's go, 3 John, yeah, it's just one chapter here. 3 John, let's look at verse 2. All right, he says, and read it out loud with me if you have it. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Look at this in the New Living Translation. He says, I want you to prosper and I want you to be in health. Now, this word prosperity here is dealing with, I want you to be whole. All right? He says, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health. And he says, that's going to happen only if your soul can prosper. Soul prosperity. Now, let's look at the anatomy of a man, a human. Man is a spirit. He doesn't have one. He is a spirit. Say out loud, I am a spirit being.
I am a spirit being.
He possesses a soul. Say, I have a soul. Now, you know, some of you may have come from churches that use the word soul and spirit interchangeably as if they're one. And they'll refer to, oh, your soul's going to be in heaven. Well, that's partly true, but the spirit and soul are not the same. They're not to be used interchangeably. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Your soul is your thinker, your filler, your chooser. All of that is located in the soul portion of the anatomy of a man. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Say out loud, I am a spirit being.
I am a spirit being.
I possess a soul.
I possess a soul.
And I live in a body.
And I live in a body.
Okay, so what happens, so you can understand death, when a person dies, the real person, you can't kill a spirit. You can't kill a spirit. When you die, there's a separation of your spirit and your soul. Somebody says, well, why's your soul going? Because that's your thinker, your filler, your chooser. Your soul is going so that we'll know one another when we get to heaven. Are we going to know one another when we get to heaven? You going to know one another when you get to Texas? Yeah. So your spirit and soul, absent from the body, and if you're saved, present with the Lord. Okay? So basically, I'm just saying, you know, all of the screaming and stuff we're doing, if a person's saved, of course you're going to miss them. But if they're saved, they're more alive out of their body than they were when they were in their body. And they will get a new body that has no limitations. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, you are a spirit being. You possess a soul. You live in the body. Now, your soul is in the middle of your body and your spirit. So when you got born again, the new creation came on the inside of you. And in order for it to be seen in your body and in the physical world, what happens in your soul area is going to determine. Your soul's got to line up with your born-again spirit. And if your born-again spirit and your soul lined up together, then it'll make your body. Your body just submits. It will make your body do what it needs to do. Okay, well, I'm not talking about spirit, soul, and body. I just want to show you your soul is the compartment that contains your emotions. Your soul is the area that contains your feeler, your thinker, your chooser. Your feelings are within the area of the soul. So when you read that, understanding this, in the Living Translation, it says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." Now, again, I wanted to show you this because there's obviously some confusion with the translators concerning the tripart being of man. They still want to use soul and spirit interchangeably as if they're the same. Now, look at the Amplified Bible. They're not the same. You have a spirit. You are a spirit. You are a spirit being. You possess a soul. You live in a physical body. The part of you that got born again is your spirit man. Now, the Amplified says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way." How many of you want to prosper in every way? I mean, you want to prosper physically. You want to prosper in your soul, you want to prosper in your family, you want to prosper in your finance, you want to be whole, right? So that's what he's saying. I pray that you be prosper in every way. What's that called? Being whole. I pray that you'll be whole in every way and that your body may keep well. How many want your body to keep well? Amen. Amen. Even as I know, watch this, your soul keeps well and prospers. So if I were your enemy, and I wanted to impact and mess up your life, I would attack you in the area of your soul. I would keep constant pressure on the thing that can move you. Your feelings will move you in directions, good or bad. They will move. They are feelings on the inside. That's what emotions are, feelings on the inside. They're designed to move you. Jesus had these emotions. I'll show you in this series where Jesus was stressed and pressed and almost fear and stuff was coming over him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, it came over him. His emotions were out there, and I'm telling you, you'll see what he did to reel them back in. Just like your emotions are going to be out there. You know, you come to church, you high and praying in tongues, that's great, but you can't stay there 24/7. And there are going to be circumstances and situations that you see. And when you see those circumstances and situations that begin to try to govern you, now remember, if you move in a direction to cuss somebody out, it started with those emotions. If you moved in a direction to bless somebody, it started with those emotions. Same situation, but you're going to always have a choice in how your emotions can direct you to do that or how your emotions can direct you to do that. But there's no such thing as the emotions automatically making you do something that you can't control and that you don't have authority over. In fact, I say this, I told my kids this, anybody that cannot control their emotions are the weakest individuals on the planet. At that time, when you cannot control your emotions, you are the weakest individual on the planet. Most people are in jail right now because they could not control their emotions. People are divorced right now because they could not control their emotions. There are people who ended up, you know, dead because they could not control their emotions. If they could back up, There are lots of things, if they could see the end of it and then just go back, it was their emotions that moved them to do something that got them killed or put them in a situation. And I am telling you how in the world the church can go so long and nobody talks about emotions. I don't know how we did it, but we're going to spend an ample amount of time dealing with this. So, based on this scripture, as goes your soul, so goes your life. As goes your soul, so goes your life. So as your soul goes, the rest of your life will follow. So God created us to be in control. And now listen to that word, because it can be used negatively. He created us to be in control of these emotions, and He created us to be in control as He is. However, in our failure to control ourselves, we attempt to control others to feel, you know, that superiority that God actually gave us over all of the creation. But we took that control and we tried to control people. God gave you this superiority so you can have control over all the creation, have authority over all the creation, but not have authority, not have control over one another. And so let me use this before I go on, because this issue of control needs to be talked about. Mastering your emotions doesn't mean not having emotions. God gave you emotions. Say out loud, I have emotions. God gave them to me. God designed us to express passion, and He designed us to express emotions. But sin and the devil and the curse have perverted these emotions so that they will hurt us and hurt others around us. Now, let's kind of dig into some practical things of where it comes from. And this is how this works. This is how this works. You get up in the morning, and throughout the day, you're exposed to something. Listen, when you wake up in the morning, if you turn on Good Morning America, you're going to be exposed to something. If you turn the radio on, you're going to be exposed to something. Now, that's where it all starts. Everything starts with your choice of the exposure that you're going to allow your attention to be given to. What are you exposed to? All right, now, so here's what happens. You're going to be exposed. All throughout the day, you're going to be exposed to all kinds of stuff. Now, whatever you're exposed to will govern how you think. So this is the anatomy of light. I wrote a book on this some years back. Whatever you're exposed to will determine how you think. All right, you don't believe me? Go expose yourself to something. It'll determine how you think. If you expose yourself to a lot of cussing, you know, when you were confronted with a situation, that's been deposited. That becomes one of the multiple choices that you might choose, because that's been deposited in your head. If you're the guy that goes and looks at porn and you think, well, I'm not doing anybody any harm, not yet. But it becomes an option, because now it's a deposit that's being made. So what are you, again, what we've been talking about, whatever you're giving your attention to the most. So whatever you expose yourself to determines how you think. Now, what does this have to do with emotions? Well, watch this. How you think determines how you feel. Your feelings are governed by your thinking. And what you think about all the time is determining how you feel. Somebody says, I feel depressed. Well, if you want to know why you feel depressed, go back and see what you've been thinking on. You've been thinking on something that's causing you to feel that way. Feelings can be controlled and dominated if you'll understand where they come from. The way you feel comes from what you've been thinking about. Oh, I'm depressed, or oh, I don't feel good. Why? What have you been thinking about? Well, I've been thinking about this bill due, and I ain't got no money to pay the bill, and I don't know how to pay the bill. And you're not thinking about the right thing. Just because the situation exists doesn't mean you have to let it stay in your head and think about it, and then it governs your emotions. Now watch what happens. Once it gets into your emotions are now designed to move you, because the next step is making a decision. You're exposed to something, it impacts your thinking. Whatever you think impacts your feelings, your emotions. Whatever you feel, your emotions will impact your decisions. Now imagine making wrong emotional decisions. Imagine making a decision to marry somebody that you don't even love. But emotionally, you know, you've been thinking about something. Well, you've been exposed to this dude. He looked like he'll, you know, gonna take care of you. Look like he like you kinda. And then, you know, you've been thinking about this dude, and now you got feelings about the dude, and now you're getting ready to make a decision to marry him based on how you feel and not based on any type of research, investment, answers to questions. You feel like he like you. What the heck that mean? I feel like he, does he love you? I feel like it. What? You can't make decisions, and you would be surprised the number of people who have made emotional decisions to get married. There are some people who've made emotional decisions because they spent all their life dreaming of the storybook wedding. And all they cared about was a storybook wedding. Well, you could have invited a whole bunch of friends at church and just put on a play. You didn't have to actually mess your whole life up because of a storybook wedding. Are you following what I'm saying? So look at what's happening. Those emotions have now gotten involved in your decision making, and decision is an open door into reality. So if you've been exposed to bad things that's making you think bad things, that's causing you to feel bad, now you make emotions from that. Look at where the emotions have taken you down a bad path, because right after you make an emotional decision, your emotions now are going to determine your actions. Your actions are going to determine your habits. Your habits are going to create your character, and your character is going to determine your destination. So everybody is where they are today based on what they were exposed to, what caused them to think that way, and then the emotions took you there. Your emotions took you there. You don't think this is important? You check out and where you are. You know, somebody says, well, I don't agree with that. You know, because my problem is I got financial problems. Oh, back up. When you made all those emotional decisions. Yep. Buying a car you can't afford because that's what you always wanted at the time, instead of taking that $800 car note and applying it to a house. And you can get the car later, you ain't but 24. You can get the car later, but an emotional decision is responsible for bringing on debt and lack. Just what you were telling me about. An emotional decision, well, I gotta have something right now, so I'll just rent right now. And you don't think about, well, I'm renting, and 5 years go by, and 10 years go by, and 15 years go, 20 years go by. You could have owned the thing after 20 years. No, but I wanted this one right here. Listen, I learned a long time ago, whatever you see in one spot, there's probably something better in another spot. If you just won't let your emotions put you somewhere you don't need to be. Every issue. You got angry and said something to your wife that hurt her feelings. You know, you're thinking, well, the divorce wasn't my part. No, your emotions moved you in that direction. And where you sit, if it's in jail, you know, you had a car accident, and, you know, the Holy Spirit said, just stay in the car till the police comes. No, you know, you get out the car because I don't know who you think you are hitting my car, slam the door, and you show up, and then you get out the car, and then they get out, and then they said something to you or talked about your mama, and then you hit them, and now they press charges on you for battery, and you're in jail, but it's Friday night, judge is gone until Tuesday, and then the boss tells you do not miss or be late again for work, or we're gonna have to let you go, and that you're in jail, and you can't get to work, and now you're unemployed, and you're in jail, and all of these things happen because your emotions took you there. This series is about mastering your emotions. And the Bible has a fruit of the Spirit, talks about self-control. And we're gonna have to do that. We're gonna have to do it. We're gonna have to look at what we're doing. A lot of times it's a fear of disrespect. And when you're afraid you're going to be disrespected, then you allow your emotions to start taking you places. It's a defense mechanism. All of a sudden, you know, instead of God being the one to watch out for you and take care of you, you move into self-preservation, and you want to do something to take care of yourself, take care of your feelings. You don't want to get your feelings hurt because don't nobody know what you've been through. And they, you know, you got hurt 10 years ago when somebody betrayed you, and you got hurt when you caught your husband or wife cheating on you, and you never dealt with your brokenness, you never dealt with the issues in your heart, you're broken in your heart in places you don't even know where you've been broken, and you're trying to, and here's what Christians do, you're trying to cover it up with a hallelujah. Okay? And try to ignore that you don't have emotion. See, what the wrong thing to do is try to become emotionless. That's the wrong thing to do. And you know who have the biggest problem with this? People in the ministry. They pastor somebody, spend a lot of time with them, and then they left. And so now they want to just stay away from everybody and become emotionless. And they want to deny themselves the opportunity to experience one of the greatest things that God put on the earth, and it is relationships. And a lot of people are hurt. And so they figure, you know, stay away, got hurt, leave me alone. That is not the answer. That is not the answer. You just become smarter. And you know how not to put your expectation out there, because disappointment can only come when you're expecting something and the expectation goes unfulfilled. And then you get disappointed. Well, part of that's your fault. What'll happen is you'll train yourself not to expect anything. You'll appreciate everything, but expect nothing. I appreciate everything, but I don't expect nothing. And that helps to guard your heart. And you can benefit greatly from a lot of relationships. You know, maybe you have to get hurt a lot until you can learn, get yourself in a position to learn how to govern yourself in a relationship and not be so needy that you keep setting yourself up over and over and over and over and over again. See, your self-esteem is always going to be responsible for drawing that type of person into your life. And for women, if you have a low self-esteem of yourself, you're going to always draw the kind of man that's going to take advantage of you. Your esteem always draws that kind of person into your life. So you understand, basically, if you want to diagnose your situation, you can just go backwards. My destination, wherever it may be, whether it's poverty, pain, hurt, sickness, lack, whatever it may be, this is what I've learned to do. I look at the situation. The situation is real. The circumstance is real. But I can't allow the circumstance to govern what kind of emotions I will have. Just see, if circumstance is there, I can make a decision to have peace and joy. And at the same time, I can make a decision to be depressed and bothered. Same circumstance. Now, I've got to realize that I have authority over my emotions. So I got a bad situation that happens, and so I decide, okay, now how am I going to respond to it? Because however I set my emotions, it's going to take me there somewhere. Praise God. All is well. Amen. All is well. Now everything else is screaming. What do you mean all is well? Don't you see what just happened? Yeah, I know, but all is well. It takes more energy for me to be upset. And a whole lot less energy for me to walk according to the Word of God. Yes. And plus, I keep the door open for the Holy Spirit to come in and do something about this situation. Yep. You have to choose. Your emotional displays is a choice. It's not automatically there. You're not going to automatically flip out when this thing happens. It's a choice. Now, so you go in reverse. Let's say I'm in lack. My destination is lack. Lack, debt, sickness. All right, now I want to see how I got here. All right, now let me go look at my character. Wow. To every destination, that destination was preceded by your character. What kind of character do you have? Character is what people have come to expect from you because that's what you have demonstrated to them. Character is who you are when nobody else is looking at you. Character is who you are and what you do when nobody's looking at you. Character is doing what is right because it's right and doing it right. Okay? So who are you? You're about to find out. Because the character was the final piece that took you to that place. What is it that you did? What kind of compromises that you walked in? What got you to that destination? You're gonna have to confront your character. What if people come to know about me? You know, here's the sad part. Sometimes people have come to know things about you that you have not yet come to know about yourself, which means you haven't examined yourself wisely enough. I was shocked when my kids were pretty little, and I was bragging about how great of a father I was. And I says, I know I'm an awesome dad. Yes, yes, yes. And it got quiet in the room. I said, well, here. Why y'all quiet? Well, you're awesome, and we love you and everything, but, you know, sometimes you have a tendency to talk really, really loud, and it scares us. Huh? Huh? And I realized the last thing I ever wanted to do was walk in deception, thinking that I'm one way when I'm really another way. Self-examination is so important for Christian people. And I figured you got enough to do just with that, that you ain't got time to be judging somebody else. You have enough to do with checking you out. Now, so you're gonna have to confront your character. Whatever destiny you find yourself in, you gotta confront your character, because your character ultimately is what puts you here. Somebody says, well, you know, what's that to do with debt? Well, you know, credit is a perfect picture of a lot of times of character. Oh, ouch. No, it's not just a credit report. Credit says a lot about your character. It really does. The times I've had, when I look at somebody's credit and then it matches their decisions, because what you're doing is you're saying, I got to have something today at the expense of tomorrow. That's called debt. I got to have something today at the expense of tomorrow. And you're willing to do anything so you can have what you want to have right now. So it indicates in this character, there is no patience. You know, there are no goal settings. It tells a lot. You got to be honest with yourself. But nobody knows who you really are like you and God. And this stuff that we play as Christians, this hallelujah cover-up stuff, it's not going to help you. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am one selfish. It's something about being honest with yourself that changes your life forever, because you humble yourself in a way. So, destination, character, and I wasn't even going to go this way, but I'm doing it, okay? Destination, character. All right, how did my character become what it is? Habits that I formed. Actually, I got into those habits, and those habits made me, okay? Habits, the things you do the most. So you got to ask yourself, what do I do the most? What are the habits that I have allowed to be formed in my life? What are those habits that I've allowed to be formed in my life? Are those habits can be, I am habitually lazy. I habitually take no initiatives. I habitually do this. What are those habits? Examine those, good or bad. What are the habits in your life? Everybody's got to understand the importance of creating good habits in your life, because if you don't create good habits, you will, by default, create some bad ones. And whatever habits you have in your life will determine the kind of character you have. So those habits, you know, first of all, you know, you get into those habits, and those habits get into you, and it determines your character, which determines your destination. What habits you have? See, I'm not... Someone says, well, you know, what about God? I'm just showing you how the system should work.
Yeah.
I'm showing you how a lot of us didn't get this growing up. And they didn't tell you in school. This is how this works. This is the anatomy of everything that happens in your life. And you can have control and authority if you understand it enough. What are your habits? You got to be honest with yourself. What are your habits? Somebody says, I have lung cancer. You say, I don't know how I got it. I say, how long you been smoking? Well, I've been smoking for, you know, over half my life. Stop. That's the habit brought you there. Okay, so how did we create the habit? The actions. Okay, so that helps us out because our actions determine our habits determine our character determines our destination in life. So what are my actions? What am I doing? Somebody says nothing. Ha! I guarantee you that explains it too. You have a habit of doing nothing. You have a character that will just be slothful and lazy and all those things. And then you're in a destination trying to figure out, well, how come this ain't happening for me? Your actions are explaining to you why. And if you have no actions, it explains to you why. Okay, so where did I get my actions from? I got my actions from my decisions. I made some decisions. Those decisions moved into actions. Those actions moved into habits. Those habits moved into character. Those characters moved into the destination. I made a decision. And then once I made the decision, it was the open door to reality, and I began to move off that decision or not move, whatever the case may be. A decision was made, an action was taken. I kept doing that action. It created a habit. That habit now created me, my character. See, the habit creates you, then your character. And then you find yourself in your destination. All right, now watch this. Where did the decision come from? Wow. How you feel? How you felt? You got to check out how you felt when you made that decision. How'd you feel when you made that decision? Because that decision, that feeling, that emotion governed your decisions, your actions, your habits, your character, your destination. We got to make wise decisions.
Yes. Yeah.
And we got to make decisions that line up with God's word. Because if we don't make wise decisions and decisions that line up with God's word, our destination's not going to be cool. Somebody said, well, Brother Dog, well, I just don't know. I can't help the way I feel. Deception and lie. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Because you feel that way because of how you're thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart. So you feel like that because how you're thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart. So ultimately, in order to change everything, I got to change the way I think. And that's why the Bible ultimately says, for the Christian who's born again, renewing your mind is the most important thing you can do. Why is it important to renew your mind? Because you want to get your thinking lined up with the Word of God, so your feelings can line up with the Word of God, so your decisions can line up with the Word of God, so your actions can line up with the Word of God, your habits line up with the Word of God, your character lines up with the Word of God, and you're in a Word of God destination. So people tell me, well, I don't have time to get in the Word. I ain't trying to do that. I just come to church to get a little inspired. Your destination is staying the same. Your destination is going to be governed by your emotions. You're going to, whatever you're exposed to in the world, that's where you're going to end up. And then ultimately, in order to change the way you think, you're going to learn the importance of giving your attention to the things of God. Giving your attention to the things of God. Somebody said, that's a waste of time. As you can see, giving your attention to the things of God is going to determine where you end up. Don't give your attention to the things of God, it's going to determine where you end up. Whether you give your attention to the things of God or don't give your attention to the things of God, it determines where you end up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the anatomy of life. This works this way, whether you believe it or not. You believe what I just said? Ain't got nothing to do with nothing, because at the end of the day, it's still going to work this way. It's still going to work this way, because it's the anatomy. You believe in whether or not you got a brain or a heart or a liver. And I don't believe I got no liver, so I drink as much as I want to. I don't care what you believe. You got a liver. Keep drinking, and you'll see you had a liver. Somebody said, what is up with you? Why are you so intense? Because I don't know why people want to act dumb when they get to a bad destination. It's like that's where you were supposed to be.
Right.
That's exactly where you're supposed to be.
So when you come to me in a session and say, well, I don't know how I got here. Hold up right there. Hold up right there. Let me tell you, it helped you to see how you got where you are. And then maybe if you back up, you can put it in reverse. You're not stuck there. You can get out of that situation.
Amen.
You can get out of that situation, but you don't have to be where you are. You don't have to put up with where you are. You don't have to be where you are. You don't have to, you know, be in a situation you are. You don't have to. Now, there's a devil loose and stuff, but he doesn't have authority over your life. If you will walk in this authority and take authority over what you're exposed to, authority over your thinking, authority over how you feel, take authority over your decisions, over your actions, over your habits, over your character, you will be exactly where God promised. There is a path. There's a path that leads to destruction. And then there's a path that leads to good life.
Yeah. Yeah.
This whole life is about you choosing the right path.
Amen.
Man, I'm tired now. I didn't mean to be this intense, but it's like, at least do yourself a favor. At least don't blame the devil. Well, you know, the devil busy, Pastor. He seems like he's busier than you. That might be the problem. See, we can talk some Christianese talk if we want to, but this is not what this series is designed to do. This series is designed to bring you as a Christian to a level of intelligence so that your spirituality can produce much better than it would if you were operating in the world. Because you're holy and you're separated from the way the world does it. But sometimes our religious phoniness really stops us from enjoying what God wants us to have, because there's good-looking truth, there's ugly truth, but it's truth. So hang around what's true. Hang around what's true. And, you know, just kind of check yourself out and say, that wasn't right. That wasn't right. That means growth for you, because before you weren't even recognizing what was right and wrong. You just had yourself on your mind. You didn't care nothing about nothing. But now you're looking at things differently. Why? Because you're exposing yourself more to the Word. You're giving more of your attention to the Word, which is now governing your thinking. Wow. Which now you're feeling better. Just go quick. You ever came to church and you weren't feeling too good? Let's just tell the truth. You can't come to church. Come on, raise your hand. See, I have to do that because some of y'all, I'm not raising my hand. I feel the joy of the Lord every time I come to church. Well, I don't. But you know what? If you'll just pause for a moment and think about that word that you know, assuming that you have some kind of devotional time, just think about that word that you've been living on all day, and just thinking about, you know, what you know and what God has done for you, it'll change how you feel. You ever come to church feeling kind of rough, and then you walked out and you just felt so much better?
Yes.
It's not because I'm so anointed and such an awesome teacher. That's not it. You were simply exposed to the containers of joy. You came to church, you came to Bible study, and you got exposed to something that governed your thinking, and because that was in your head, your feelings began to line up with it.
Amen.
I'm going to enjoy this series. Now, let's look at men, women, and emotions. So, women are more aware of their emotions. Would you say that is to be pretty good for the most part? And, you know, it could go either way, but for the most part, if I were to take a thing, women probably are a lot more aware of their emotions than men are. Men have just as many emotions as women do. They don't think they do. Men have just as many emotions as women do. The problem now is man law comes up and says to a man, men are not supposed to have emotions. Quit acting like a woman. My wife takes big offense to that. She says, oh, the women are the only people that got emotion? What you mean quit acting like a woman? How come you can't quit acting like a man? The point is, men have just as many emotions as women do,
But man law prohibits them from what they've heard in locker room and crazy other places from ever demonstrating their emotions. So here's what happens. If you don't have an outlet for your emotions, it comes out, but it may come out in very wrong ways. See, if a boy doesn't get a chance to cry tears, one day he'll cry bullets. They come out in a lot of different ways, and we've got to learn how to teach our sons how to deal with their emotions and not to think that it's wrong to deal with, because then you'll take that in your marriage. And intimacy is all about come into me and see. And your wife, most of the time, wants to know you. She's willing to share herself with you. But when it's not equal on both sides, you're not opening up and letting her come into you and see, then it's going to become a problem there with intimacy. Now, intimacy is not sex. You understand, it's much more than sex. So you can have sex. Oh, you didn't know that, baby? Why? Okay, so, see, you can have a lot of intimacy, and if intimacy is where it needs to be, sex is through the roof. But if where there is no intimacy, nobody's interested in sex. Not married people. I'm not talking about you. Oh, what do you mean? I'm interested all the time. No. No, you're not. If intimacy is at an all-time low, and I don't like you, and you get on my nerves, and I'm irritated with you, I'm not interested in having sex. Sex is the caveat of intimacy. And men who are not trained to harness their emotions properly, you're missing out on a whole lot.
Are your emotions controlling your life? Many people think that their emotions cannot be controlled.
As a Christian, not only can you help how you feel, but God has equipped you and provided for you the necessary resources to help you control, harness, and take charge of those negative feelings in your life.
If you're not in control of your emotions, then you're not in control of your life. You know, you gotta watch what you say, everything that comes out of our mouth too. So the things that's normally going on in our life is as a result of us speaking the wrong way.
I'm not saying those negative feelings won't come. I'm just saying when they do come, you can neutralize them, control them, harness them, and not let them lead you in a direction that's gonna be destructive to your life.
Get the Secret to Stable Emotions 7-message series for a love gift of $40 or more. Call the number on the screen or go online to order today.
Calling all men from around the world. Join us for Mentality 2020.
I'm nervous to share this message with you today.
I got an honest question. I want y'all to be real.
Because it's going to get nitty and gritty.
I feel like we should be able to talk about certain stuff.
Real men, real talk. We will get down to it at the 2020 Mentality Conference.
Real man knows how to control his emotions. But a man that cannot control his emotions is the weakest man on the planet.
Man law is a demonically crafted system of messaging, and this messaging is designed to attach our identity as men to pointless things.
If I were a God and I wanted to develop you in the characteristics of Jesus Christ, you know what I would do? I would hide your miracle in somebody it takes you to be like Christ to love.
Join us for a revival of manhood at the Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss out. Register now at CrefloDollarMinistries.org.
Creflo Dollar Ministries refuses to turn a blind eye to human suffering. God has given us the power and the means to meet the needs of people in a hands-on, tangible way. Rest assured that your financial donations are hard at work in the lives of people both here and abroad. We know that when people understand grace, they are empowered to change their lives for the better. Your support enables us to share the grace of God and are able to improve their lives. Thank you so much.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CrefloDollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
Grace Life Academy is a library of grace teachings the Holy Spirit has poured into me since God asked if I would be a student of grace. Now you can join me on this lifelong journey to experience God's grace in every area of our lives. Grace Life Academy is for everyone, your spouse, your kids, your friends, hey, even introduce it to your study groups. It's unlimited access to grace teachings, access to the e-courses, study guides, an online community, quizzes, in as little as 15 minutes a day. I'm excited, as you can tell, and I don't want you to miss out on this great opportunity, so stay tuned for more from my announcement.
The Grace Life Academy is an innovative approach to learning God's Word, and the best news is that it's free for 30 days. Now is the time for you to take control of your life and join Grace Life Academy. Text GLA to 51555 or go online to mygracelifeacademy.com. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends.